Hello, and welcome to the MDS podcast, the official podcast of the International Parkinson Disease and Movement Disorders Society. I'm Sarah Lidstone from the University of Toronto, and today I'm joined by Maria Luisa Gandolfi and Michele Tanazzi from the University of Verona to discuss their paper, How Does Postural Control in Patients with Functional Motor Disorders Adapt to Multitasking-Based Immersive Virtual Reality? So welcome, Michele and Maria Luisa.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you.
All right, so we'll get started. So I'd like to have our listeners first understand a little bit about the rationale for the study. So can you give us the background and why did you want to do a study using virtual reality and balance in FMD?
Yes, we know that people with functional motor disorders often report gait and balance disorders along with dystonia, weakness, and other movement disorders such as tremor, and which increase the risk of falls and disability. But FMD, functional motor disorder, are involuntary but learned altered movement patterns caused by abnormal self-directed attention and movement prediction, resulting in a movement generated without a normal sense of agency. So retraining movement through diverted attention and changing maladaptive symptoms-related behaviors can reduce the disability and improve the patient's quality of life. So this can be achieved through virtual reality technology, which offers a promising avenue to optimize motor learning in a challenging, safe, and motivating environment, stimulating sensory motor and cognitive processes simultaneously. In particular, the use of immersive virtual reality is particularly relevant because it allows interaction with the virtual environment under visually manipulated conditions. It's for this reason that our hypothesis is that the application of immersive virtual reality associated with progressive attention demanding condition would promote more effective use of postural control strategies in patients with functional motor disorders and as measured by posturography. So this is the rationale of our study.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. And for those of you who may not be actively doing work in this area, I think the approach generally in treating these patients is to take advantage of the features on the positive signs, such as distractibility and symptom enhancement with attention, and actually use that therapeutically. So this is the area that you guys are working in and very well known for. So Maria Luisa, could you just describe the experimental setup? So for those of you who haven't read the paper, just so we can picture what your lab kind of looks like and how you set up your experiment.
Yes, we use an instrumental assessment of balance, which is a stabilometric platform, which is a very simple platform where the patients or the subject have to stand with our upper limb along the body. And we have the possibility to to quantify the postural control assessment by using very simple postural stabilometric outcomes. So the patient stands on the platform, and we ask the patient to maintain this position for 118 seconds. And then the platform records the sway area, the length of the COP, and the sway in mediolateral and anterior posterior displacement velocity. So while standing in this position, we focus on different focus of attention without or with using or without using virtual reality. The setting was very comfortable. The patients had not to move. And of course, if any concerns came, we stopped the experimental setup and we performed the setting again.
So the patient is standing on this little circle, and then the circle at the platform is measuring all of their postural kinematics. So can you describe to us the four conditions that you studied in the experiment?
Yes, we did the VR scenario thanks to the collaboration with Factory, which is a very expert in the field. And so the first information is that we use a custom-made virtual reality setting because we feel that this is the only way to focus on this kind of symptoms, and we can't use other devices that are not custom-made for functional motor disorders patients. Then we use three scenarios based on VR. The first was a very simple scenario that was a room-like real machine in which the patients have to stand on the platform without doing anything. The other two scenarios was custom-made and consisted of a city-like scenarios in which we reproduce all the features, not only visual features, but also acoustic features of the real city. So we have pedestrians, we have buildings, we have trees, we have cars, and we have also sounds of the real city. And we ask the patient to perform a different kind of cognitive dual task during this scenario. The first was to avoid pedestrian, and so don't pay attention to the pedestrians that are moving in the environment. And the second, we asked the patient to count them. And so we asked the patient to perform a double cognitive dual task to so the pedestrian and to keep in memory the number, that the elements that he saw.
So it was almost like a passive attention and an active attention condition in a way.
Yes, in the first one, we look at the effect of the environment by themselves without any other task. While in the second, we included another cognitive task that we would focus on external focus of attention more than the previous one.
So more internally directed attention maybe, or just a little bit of external directed attention, and then a much more robust externally directed attention task. Can you tell us about the sample of patients that participated in the study?
Yes, so we selected 17 patients with functional motor disorders, mainly affected by tremor and weakness in the lower limb. They all complained postural control disorders, of course, and they were mainly male, as the literature says us that the disease is mainly focused on female, with an average of 40 years. So they were very young women with balance and postural control disorders. Of course, we compare our data on this sample with healthy control, age match healthy control, to normative data to compare results.
So quite representative of what we see in clinic. What are the baseline, just either in your study, your findings, or even just your other work, that like what are the baseline differences already in task performance between patients and healthy controls when it comes to posture imbalance?
Yes, we, as expected, we found that patients had a worse performance on the balance test compared to healthy control. So they were very, very unstable and suffered from severe balance control in static position. And this was very clear because they had higher outcomes measured than control in all the outcomes we collected. So they had higher sway area, higher length of COP, and higher sway velocity. So they were really impaired compared to the healthy control.
And so what did you find on the task performance between the FMD patients and the controls?
Yes, we found that when we use a specific setting of virtual reality, which is the virtual reality room without the city, we had no differences in balance control in FMD, and we have no differences in the each measure we collected. But when we use the city-like virtual reality condition with the cognitive dual task, and so we challenge the patient not only in the virtual reality environment, but we also added a new attentional demanding task, we found that postural control improved, and improved a lot in all outcome measures. So as we found was that the sway area became smaller, which means that the postural control was better during the virtual environment condition than the real condition. And we were surprised by the fact that the simple virtual environment was not effective. And so we confirmed that we need to have a specific custom-made scenario for this kind of patient, because it's not useful using a common virtual reality device. And the second was that the city light condition without the cognitive well task was not so powerful like the virtual reality with the cognitive dual task. So we have to consider that this patient needs to be strongly focused on another focus of attention, because it's very challenging to find the best solution to move the attention from the inside to the outside of the body.
And so was it that the patient group, just to ask a follow-up question around that, is it the patient group, and I understand how their balance improved under the hardest conditions, so when they had to be in the immersive environment and then count what they were seeing in their environment. But was it also, what happened to the control group under that condition? Did the control group stay the same and no impairment, or did they get worse?
Okay, they had a little changes, but they were not significant from a statistical point of view. But we found a trend a little bit worse in the best attentional demanding condition for FE controls, instead of a better performance in FMD. So we didn't find a real interaction from a statistical point of view, but we noticed this trend. So the healthy control in the most demanding condition was not so, was a little bit worse than FMD.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so interesting. And it links to what we see in the clinic, right? When we give patients a competing task, a more attentionally demanding task, we can demonstrate distractibility in their movement. And often in tremor, for example, you know, if the task isn't challenging enough, it's not sufficiently distracting or sufficiently attention demanding, then that distractibility may not actually come out, which your study, I think, really shows very nicely. And it's important for us clinically. What advantages do you think that virtual reality offers in FMD, like above regular rehab that we're doing all the time?
Yes, first of all, it's very helpful to have to quantify by using instrumental assessment the different behavior of these patients under different conditions. And so, of course, we have positive signs that are based on clinical assessment, but sometimes to understand better the pathophysiology of these disturbances and to understand why some rehab approaches are more useful than the other ones, we have to use instrumental assessment. So first of all, is a helpful message for a clinician that they can use also stabilometric assessment to quantify disorders and to quantify what distraction improve in these problems. Mm-hmm. And for rehab, it could be useful at the beginning when the patient is very impaired and maybe is not completely aware of her possibility. Mm-hmm. And so we can use as a positive signs to describe the patient that her performance can improve in this special situation. So be used for rehabilitation, especially at the beginning of the multidisciplinary treatment that we do.
Almost like a biofeedback mechanism, or like giving someone an actual number to change, is always very helpful when it comes to treatment.
Yes.
And can I ask, you know, it's well documented across many studies that there is a poor correlation between patients' task performance with FMD in general and their experience of how they did, right? There's a number of studies that show that patients very often feel that they performed very poorly, but in fact, their measures could be good or even normal. I know that you didn't explicitly measure the subjective experience of the patients, but do you have a sense of what they said and how they thought that they did on the task?
Yes, as a feasibility study, we asked the patients what was the feeling and what was the perspective of the patient during the experience. And we have positive experience and positive feeling. And the most interesting was that the patients didn't think about her body, but was focused on the environment and so only in the task that we asked to perform. And so it was very helpful for us because we understand that the environment was adapted for the disease and was effective in inducing this change in the focus of attention. And the fact that the patients was fully engaged, it was our primary aim to discuss our results. And so we have a positive feeling and we were happy about this.
Yeah, so you confirmed that they truly were engaged and fully distracted, if you will. Yeah. Just mechanistically, you know, this kind of gets in more into the pathophysiology of FMD, but why do you think that, or do you have any hypotheses around why external attention or attention off of the body reduces the symptoms of FND?
Yes, it's related to the pathophysiology that we have not an organic lesion. We have not a real disconnection from the brain, the midbrain, and the muscle, the periphery, but simply we have a dysfunction on function. And so if we use a particular setting in which the patients can rely on the physiological mechanism for control of posture, we can have a more normal and physiological performance. So our view is that attention is abnormally focused on the mechanisms that control balance and they work. And in this condition, we can help the patient to don't care on this hyper control on these mechanisms, and so the function can recover. And this is why we use this approach also at the beginning of the rehabilitation, because we can provide to the patients evidence about this integrity of the structural way that control balance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the taking the attention off the body in some ways releases the ability to just have the nervous system do its automatic reflexes that it knows how to do now. So how do you hope these results will contribute to the diagnosis and or the treatment going forward in FND?
I think that our work will help a lot clinicians to improve diagnosis. That, of course, is based on the positive clinical assessment, but we think that instrumental assessment is useful in specific subgroup of patients to understand better their problem, their symptoms, and also to correlate some symptoms with performance. And so it could be very helpful. For rehab, this approach could be very useful in patients, in all patients, but it could be that the patients most to study and to investigate with this approach will be patients that have a very strong belief about the disease, and so they need a special environment to change the focus of attention. So we can use the environment as a very powerful tool to manipulate not also feedback, visual feedback, and the cognitive performance, but also the belief of the patient.
And I also think the patients would enjoy putting on a custom VR set. I think it would make rehab really fun and engaging and interesting for them. And Elaine, did you want to add anything? Like, is there anything you want to say kind of at the end?
I think that this is important. I learned from a physiotherapist of a doctor in rehabilitation that it is very important for gait and posture to examine patients with posturography and gait right. This is very important because it's nice to categorize, for example, the different kind of gait in different functional motor disorder. But at the end, it's difficult because we don't have a spatial temporal parameters that are very, very important. And we are exploring both posturography and gait right, using different spatial and temporal parameters to better categorize posture and gait in this population of patients.
Yeah, and you know, we talked at the conference recently in Verona about this, about the urgent need to get some different types of metrics, right? More objective data that doesn't rely simply on a clinical categorization for diagnosis for these patients. So So thank you both very much for joining us today and talking about your study. And we look forward to seeing what comes next out of these data. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the International Parkinson and Movement Disorder Society or their affiliated journals, Movement Disorders and Movement Disorders Clinical Practice. Any disclosures of the participants can be found within the episode description located on the MDS website.